Welcome to the College Football Bros, the podcast hosted by three dummies. And now, here are your hosts, Michael, Ryan, and Trey Newman.
Welcome to the College Football Bros podcast. I am Michael Newman, and I'm joined by the brother who I hung out with in Venice this weekend.
Sure did. That was me, Ryan Newman.
And by the other brother, who stayed home and cried like a little baby.
Wow. That's me, Trey Newman.
All right. As always, you can follow us on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And of course, you can subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/collegefootballbros. And we actually just dropped another bonus episode there for the patrons. And one of them said it was, quote, the funniest episode he's ever listened to. Actually, that's not the quote. He said funniest episode I've ever listened to.
Wow.
Close enough.
I missed that.
Huh?
What was the episode about again?
It was, oh my God.
Oh, it was the guessing who the people were?
Yeah, it was guess who am I?
Right. That's right.
All right.
Yeah, that was fun.
Good sales job, Ryan.
Yeah, I need a little more explanation on that.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to our old takes here. So all of these predictions came at some point during last offseason. And Trey, we're going to put you on the hot seat first. But before we get to your bad takes, we're allowing each bro to share a few good ones. So give us your best takes.
All right. I like it. Well, first, you know, this has to do with my volunteers all year. You can't go against your unexplainable feeling. They're a long shot, but I really like Tennessee this year. The Vols, their over-under is set at 6.5, with the over being favored at -155. They have one of the more experienced teams coming back. Jarrett Garantano, he showed flashes last year at quarterback, and I think he could potentially break out this season. All of the top running backs and receivers return, along with seven of the eight offensive linemen in the rotation, including Trey Smith. And I also, on the defense, the back end, they return most of the linebackers and defensive backs, so there's a lot of pieces to like. And then the biggest problem for Tennessee last year was they weren't consistent, but there was a lot of youth and inexperience, so I'm seeing a big jump in this season. I just have this unexplainable feeling, guys, that Tennessee's going to improve a lot this year. I'm going over on them. They have a fairly favorable schedule, and the Vols are actually going to be my lock.
Man, that was 2-5, right? That looked a little...
Yeah, they were 1-4 as well. It was not looking good.
Not looking good.
Took them a while to get their stride, but they found it.
Yeah. Okay, what's number two?
Ah, yes, number two. There were a few Big Ten West teams that were getting some hype, and one of them I wasn't buying into. I knew you'd go over with Brom.
Yeah.
People will. A lot of people love him, and I do too, but I'm not really maybe seeing it this year. I just think that offense is going to take too big of a step back. You know, Rondale Moore is really the only exciting piece coming back. They lose a majority of the line and the receiving core. So I just don't, I'm not seeing the upswing. But overall, this team, they were 6-6 last year, and now they lose a lot of talent. I think they go under. And I'm actually going to make it my lock.
Ooh, wow. All right. 2-for-2 on our locks here so far, Trey.
Yeah, you know, I did all right this year.
Yeah, their win total was set at 7, and they ended up going 4-8, so didn't have to sweat that one.
And then finally, we had a little team in Tennessee also, Memphis. Their over-under was 9.5, and I had a pretty good feeling on them. I love Memphis this year. I think this offense should just put up huge numbers. The defense is usually Memphis's downfall when it comes to, you know, playing and winning this conference. But I don't see that being too much of the case this year. They played a bunch of underclassmen last year. They also bring in a JUCO All-American on the D-line. Bryce Huff at linebacker had 19 tackles for loss and 9.5 sacks. So I think they go over because of the schedule. And if they beat Ole Miss in the opener, I'll be very confident, and in fact, I think they will. So I'm going to call for Memphis to be my New Year's Six team.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
All right. That was a really good pick, and
yeah,
it's made to look even better, because we're not even going to get to this, but Ryan, you and I both chose Houston as our New Year's Six participant.
Wow, that did not age well.
No, not at all. And it actually, yeah, it definitely says something that it's not even either of our five worst takes, Ryan.
It's up there, though, man. Wow, had to be close.
Yeah. Okay. Now for the fun part,
yeah.
Trey.
Yeah.
The ball is in Ryan and I's court.
Right.
And we get to make fun of you. So, Ryan, what's number five for
Trey? This first one here was a big mistake here. Huge mistake. Couldn't believe he made it. We were doing a Big 12 preview, and Trey was rather bearish on a certain Big 12 school.
Oh, that's crazy. I hate to go against a lock, but defensively, it's hard for me to get over the fact that they weren't good, and they're in the categories with Oregon State, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And, you know, over the first 2 years of the Rule era, they've averaged the 81st ranked defense by S&P Plus, and they gave up 26 plays of 40 or more yards. No other team in the Big 12 gave up more than 19, and we know the Big 12 isn't known for defense. So, I mean, the lack of turnovers, I need it to be proven before I believe in it.
Do you believe in it now, Trey?
I do. I was proven wrong, and I wasn't really buying into the fact that teams can actually improve year over year. Wow, that was
fascinating. I like especially the fact that you were bearish on the defense, which is kind of what carried them.
Yep,
exactly. Yep.
So did they go over or under 7.5? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think they barely made it, Mike. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, that's probably all of mine, right? We're done?
No, we got quite a few more here, Trey. The next one were your thoughts on Missouri, and their win total was set at 8.
Even with that potential bull man, I just love them. I mean, even with we talk about the losses that they had, like Drew Locke, oh, that's fine. Kelly Bryant, Terry Beckner last year on the D-line. Ryan, you mentioned Jordan Elliott. Like, They've got guys all over that I'm confident in. It feels weird to take the over, but I love their schedule. They only have to play Ole Miss and Arkansas from the West, like you mentioned earlier, Michael. And on the East, they get Florida and Tennessee at home. So I'm taking the over. I personally don't feel bad about this one. I liked Missouri. Kelly Bryant was injured. They had a rough go.
They sputtered at the end for sure. They started off, well, actually.
They lost to Wyoming early.
One. Yeah. After the Wyoming one, they rebounded and then.
But they just weren't. Yeah. I was with you, Trey. I thought they were going to be really good and it just did not work out. Of course, they went 6-6.
Yeah. I don't regret that one too much.
Barry Odom does.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next one here. We had another over-under. This one was. In our Pac-12 preview, we're talking about Oregon, and theirs was set at 8.5. So, see where you went there.
I'm just not feeling the Ducks as much. I mean, the last time we saw them, they won one of the ugliest bowl games I've ever seen in the Red Box Bowl against Michigan State. And sorry, Braden, but you know the Ducks, they underachieved a little bit last year. You know, yeah, they did have that super recruiting class that you mentioned, Ryan. But you know, we'll see if that pays any dividends for this upcoming season. So the one thing about Justin Herbert, people love the fact that, yeah, he came back and he could have been a top five pick. But if you look at how he played against top 40 opponents last year, he did not fare that all that well at all. And not to mention this upcoming year, they have a pretty tough schedule, at least compared to the other contenders in the Pac-12. So he's really going to have to up his performance in those upper tier games that they play. Now, on the defensive side, I don't know if, you know, losing their coordinator, Leavitt, now they're going to a new guy. That's a little bit of a transition too. So that might be tough. Bottom line, I think Oregon might be a little overhyped. Their tough games are away from Autzen. So I'm going to go under.
So I was the one who put together all of these clips, and I thought about cutting that one down, giving Trey a little bit of a break, but
you didn't.
But I didn't.
I was dead wrong on that. Dead wrong. The one thing to my credit is I did underestimate, or I guess I didn't realize that the rest of the Pac-12 wasn't all that great. Of course, Utah was, but I was dead wrong on Oregon.
Okay, we are to your final two takes, Trey, and these are extremely, extremely hot. So the first one here, well, it's actually going to be two clips, and it comes from your SEC quarterback rankings.
All right, number five, Mississippi State's Ketan Thompson.
Whoa.
Now, this is more of a play on Joe Moorhead.
Yeah, better be.
If not for him, Thompson might be a little lower on my list, but he's a more of a seasoned passer than Fitzgerald, but, you know, anyone is. He started the first game last year, had seven total touchdowns. I know it was against an FCF foe, but it's still an encouraging sign for at least some potential.
I hope you're right, because obviously I'm a big Joe Moorhead guy, but I think this is my biggest disagreement of the episode. I think he should...
Yeah, I'm with you here, Michael. This is mine as well.
You have him tier two right now, terrible twos. I think he should maybe be back on the getting an education tier.
No comment. No comment.
I also could have cut that clip early, but I had to get me looking super smart in there. That's the advantage of having the control of the editing software. But so that's bad enough. Number five, Ketan Thompson. But let's see where you put Joe Burrow.
Number eight, LSU's Joe Burrow. I've just never been super high on Burrow, but he finished the year well. Coach O wanted to enhance the offense even more. He brought in a new passing game coordinator. The LSU hasn't had stability at quarterback before, so it's nice to have him around. He doesn't scare a defense, but he can at least keep the defense honest.
No, I like that. He's a middle of the pack guy, so that's
collateral damage for Ryan there.
Yeah, dang, couldn't cut it a second shorter.
Nope. Right after that, I probably said, "Oh, I totally agree. He should be lower." Yeah. Actually,
that was obviously very brutal in hindsight. But I want to go back to anyone in the nation that was predicting anything near this, and I'll bow down to them.
No one was. Okay, Ryan. We got one more.
All right. So this next one, Trey, was I don't remember which episode it was, but we were ranking the top 25 coaches in the country, and well, you had Lincoln Riley as a little bit of an outlier compared to Michael and I.
Okay, so I might have been a little overzealous and tried to make a point because I had him 19th. Now,
19th.
What? Wow.
This is 19th.
This is solely
that you hate OU.
No, that has nothing to do with it. Here, I'm totally unbiased. This, you know, I could have
totally.
I could have put him up a few pegs, but this is solely based on the fact that he inherited arguably the most talent anyone ever really has in college football. Like Stoops just gave him a top five team. So what a situation! And then not to mention he inherits Baker Mayfield, and then Kyler Murray had already transferred. So you know he no doubt, I give him credit, he had a role in making them great. I'm not saying he didn't. But I just really want to see what OU is like after a full cycle of his products.
I got nothing. We just sat here in silence. No one wants to say anything.
I'm not going to bite.
And you know what is problematic about that one is it made Ryan and I look bad because we were actually ranking our top 10 head coaches and we just combined all of our rankings and averaged them. So we put Lincoln Riley behind Scott Frost because of that, Trey, and you make us look really dumb.
Just give it a few years.
He's sticking to it.
Long term here.
I'm not. I'll double down. Fine.
Sure. All right. Well, you handled that well, Trey. You're off the hot seat.
Good job, Trey.
All right. I'll take it.
Ryan, you now. So, Trey, we only gave three opportunities to give good opinions. Ryan, I'm going to give you four because when you sent me your audio clips, you sent me the timestamp.
Yeah.
So I was able to find them quickly. I appreciated that.
I was trying to be courteous.
So that's your
nice
reward.
All right. Thank you. All right. So this first one here, we were, it was the same episode we were just talking about, the ranking the top 25 coaches. And I thought I did a pretty good job on this one.
Gus Malzahn, David Shaw, Chip Kelly, Jeff Brom.
Chip Kelly?
Okay, well, there's a disagreement from Ryan there.
I didn't have him anywhere near my top 25.
Well,
wow. I mean, he did do pretty well at Oregon.
Yeah, and even like
10 years ago.
Well, I mean, it's one year at UCLA. I'm not writing him off yet. Yeah, it's not maybe as good as what people thought, but, you know, you're quick to judge.
Yeah. You got, fair enough, but I'm low. but I'm low. Just had to get one more little dig in there.
I know. Yeah, I left that in there. You're you've been pretty consistently low, lower than everyone on Chip Kelly. So
yeah,
that's. I mean, right it's away. Not over. He could still turn it around, but it's looking good.
Yeah, true. It is. All right. Thank you. Yes, let's go on to number two here. We were just trying to predict where College Game Day would go each week, and had a pretty good prediction here. I think the top game would be maybe North Dakota State at South Dakota State in week 9. Both those teams are preseason top 5. But you do have competition, obviously. LSU, Auburn at LSU, Notre Dame, Michigan.
Ooh, that's tough.
It's tough. Those are tough. But those teams may have a few losses by then. Who knows? They would need that. Thank you very much. They ended up going to that game.
Well, just to be clear, the prompt was to choose the most likely FCS game. It's not like you just predicted that.
No, yeah. I had FCS, but, you know, still got the FCS game.
Yeah. No, that was great.
Yep. All right. Moving on to number 3. You had to put that one in there, Mike. Thanks for that little asterisk.
Well, I mean, I didn't want people to think you were literally God, because if you had just picked that, that'd have been crazy. No.
Yeah, true. Very true. All right, the next one here. What is the next one? Oh, yeah, we were in a conversation with Ty Hildenbrand here, and he was we're supposed to give him some hot takes, and he was going to grade these takes about how spicy they were. So my hot take is that neither Tua or Justin Herbert will be the number one pick next year. I'm thinking somebody out of the blue is just going to have a great year, shoot up the draft boards, and take that number one spot from those two. What do you think?
If you're telling me that Justin Herbert won't be the top pick, I don't think that's all that spicy.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he will be the top pick. Even if he has a good year, I don't think he will be the top pick. But if you're telling me that Tua won't be the top pick, then we got to talk. Because if it's not Tua, Ryan, then who's it going to be?
Hey, look at the last couple years. Who thought Kyler Murray was going to be the number one overall pick?
Yeah.
The year before that,
that's
Baker
true.
Mayfield. I mean, he was a good player, but nobody thought he was going to be taken number one. I mean, it happened in the past where it's like some guy's just going to say, hey, I'm gonna have a great year. People aren't expecting it. All of a sudden, hey, I'm number one. Well, it would be nice. Hopefully he goes number one.
Yeah, I guess it's not over yet, but
not etched in stone.
But looking good.
Yeah.
And Ryan, I'm sure during that I was just like, Ryan, please do not yell at Ty Hildenbrand. He could just, I don't know.
Shut
what.
Up, Ty. You're stupid, dude. Yeah, no, he's been great for us. He's a nice guy.
He is.
Okay, yeah. Did I say that right, Mike? Did I get that one correct?
Say what right?
That Ty's nice and he's a really great guy. And
he is.
Good, good.
All right, now it sounds like we're saying he's not. He is a super nice guy.
I'm just kidding. He's a great guy.
No, he sucks.
All right. What?
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 I'm just what? Kidding.
I didn't know what you
he
said.
He is awesome. All right. We're moving on.
All right.
Why are you rolling your eyes, Ryan? Oh, now you're flipping me off. Okay.
Yeah. All right. This last one here. Big 12 preview. Just take a listen. I am actually going to have to go with Oklahoma and Baylor. I think.
Oh, yep. That's even bolder.
That's very bold. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Call me crazy. Call me crazy, boys.
You're crazy.
Yep. And I'm going to say that Baylor wins the Big 12. I think they beat OU. I'm high on Baylor, gentlemen. It's my lock.
Oh, my goodness.
OU is coming way back down to earth here.
All right. That's.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Okay. Yep. That's very bold.
It's wide. The Big 12 is wide open this year, I feel like. This is the year to take a chance on somewhat underdog in the conference.
Michael and I were just totally appalled.
Yeah.
I thought we lost all credibility.
Yeah, you guys didn't give it a chance there.
No, and it is, I mean, obviously you still get a ton of credit for this pick, but man, if they had just won an overtime in the Big 12 championship, so close.
That hurts overtime.
I feel like we would have got some pub for it. I'm not sure where.
Yeah, maybe so.
Probably nowhere, but
it was a fun year though. They gave us quite a ride though. For several weeks we were just like, how much longer are they going to keep this going?
I know.
That was cool.
All right. Great, great pick. That was the pick of the year, obviously, on our podcast.
Yeah, no doubt.
But now we've got some bad takes for you, Ryan. And the first one is placing Jake Luton last among Pac-12 quarterbacks.
The Beavers, Oregon State, they have a three-way battle, but Jake Luton, he got a sixth year, and he's likely to take advantage of that and probably be the starter. But, you know, it's the Beavers.
So. I'm already strongly disagreeing here. He was pretty good last year when he played. I know he's injury prone, but
I guess I didn't bother to look too much into his stats. I just saw Beaver quarterback. I'm like 12.
He just assumed he was really bad.
Yeah, he had a pretty darn good year.
Yeah, 28 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Definitely not number 12 in the Pac-12.
I just I chose that one though because I look good mostly.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
True. All right. The next one, you know, Ryan being our resident Nebraska homer, he had an opinion on one of their games this year.
I'm taking Nebraska -9.5 at Colorado. For some reason, I have a very good feeling about this game. It kind of reminds me of the 2010 game when Nebraska went to Seattle and played UW. Me and the bros went to that game and they had Jake Locker. They were supposed to be pretty good. And I wasn't feeling it. I was like, no, Nebraska's going to whoop their butt. And they won by like 30. It was an easy, easy victory. I'm getting that same vibe here.
Okay.
Nebraska's definitely going to have payback on their minds after some of the stuff that happened in Lincoln last year. And they're just two teams going in opposite directions. And there's going to be a ton of Husker fans there. Don't really see a huge home field advantage. I don't know. I think Nebraska's going to go in there and win by like 3 touchdowns.
Was that a first half bet?
Yeah, first half, you were looking good.
Yeah, 17-0 at half.
Look real good. Yeah. Floodgates opened.
Okay, next one we have is also in our tiered quarterback rankings episode. And you had Tate Martell very high in the ACC.
Miami quarterback Tate Martell at number 4. Hasn't played too much, but he did look good in the limited opportunities he got at Ohio State. So I feel comfortable putting him here in this third tier and fourth overall in the ACC. Got some good tutelage under Urban Meyer, so no gripes there.
Yeah, it's like a Joe Burrow situation, kind of.
Yeah, maybe a little more upside. He's more highly recruited than Joe Burrow was, but...
Yeah. Damn it.
Okay, well...
Oh, no.
That doesn't make you look good either.
No, I did not look good in that one, but yeah. It was too good to share.
Third tier wasn't like he was the second tier guy.
All right, well, I still think it's bad, especially the...
Yeah, it's definitely not good.
Especially the higher upside than Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that didn't come off well.
So, speaking of Miami quarterbacks and their tiers, we were doing something with Miami in the ACC preview.
Okay, we got the ACC here. I'm going to go ahead and take the Miami Hurricanes. You're getting 11 or plus 1125, so quite a bit odds there, to win the ACC. They're my pick to win the division, of course. I mentioned that in our last couple podcasts back. And, you know, I think this is actually possible because maybe Clemson's defense won't be quite as dominant as it has been, especially last year. And the U, they got a really, really good defense, especially with Manny Diaz still in charge. I'm encouraged that Tate Martell didn't win the job. I think that's a very good sign for the U fans, especially since it didn't take long for Diaz to make a choice. I think that's also a good sign. Like, hey, this Williams is a clear cut above, so I can just go ahead and say it now. So I'm encouraged by it. Man,
you just did not have your finger on the pulse of Miami, I guess.
Yeah, they can't ever put it together, man.
No, I was high on Miami going into the season, also. But our last one here, your worst take of the offseason, was proven wrong. Pretty much immediately after you said it, within, I think, days. So I'm going to play a long clip here, and there's actually a flashback within a flashback. So enjoy.
Getting crazy.
And that is that Ryan is a liar.
Well, no, so, you set me up badly on that one.
Well, okay. Let me just play a clip from last week's episode.
Oh, boy. See, it felt like fast food always tasted better at like midnight, but I'm done. I haven't done that in a long time, and I won't do it again.
I think I also said, go get it. late night fast food runs.
No. And then let me just fast forward to 2 days after that podcast. And it's Friday night at midnight, and Ryan is chowing down on some chicken McNuggets from McDonald's.
Well, tell the whole story, Mike.
What's the whole story?
So you visited me. You were coming home from a Laker game, going to stay at my place. You and your girlfriend come home at like midnight. I normally would be asleep by then, but I was kind of waiting up for you, actually. And then,
well, thank you.
You come home with some McDonald's. You didn't even text me because you knew I wouldn't have asked.
That is 100% true.
But then
true.
Your girlfriend sits there and asks you, "Hey, Michael, do you want to finish my nuggets? Like, I'm not going to be able to finish these." And you're like, "No." So I'm like, "Well, if nobody's going to eat them, okay, I'll step in."
It still counts. You still ate the fast food. Okay, we could have thrown it out.
No, it's true. I should have resisted, but. Man, it was delivered right to me. It was free. I got
and you
set
popped up so quickly when Sarah said that, and you're like, "Well, I might as well have a Coke with it," and went to the fridge and got a Coke.
Well, you can't have some nuggets without a Coke. So. So I have. I don't.
Oh no,
it hasn't happened since.
Oh really?
I'm not going to say it won't ever happen again.
Yeah, you've learned your lesson. We did go to Capriati's this weekend. Finally, yeah. It's been forever since I'd been there.
In the middle of the day for lunch. Yes, we did.
Middle of the day, yeah, not midnight, but it was great.
Yeah, it was all right.
You didn't like it?
No, I did. It was pretty solid, but it wasn't like, oh boy, this is, I'm not going back there.
Did it live up to your expectations, Michael?
You know, honestly, not quite.
It didn't look like it did.
It was good. I mean, I ate the whole thing and it was good, but I think it could have used a little more Russian dressing. Mm. I got a pastrami sandwich. But anyway, this is not interesting to the listeners. So yeah. I guess I'm stalling because, well, no, first we get to go and hear my best takes. So I'm excited about that.
That's going to be a brief moment, though.
Since I put these together, I've got 12. I have 12.
Sure.
No, I just have 4. So the first one is in our SEC West preview episode, and I was talking about LSU. Yeah, I agree with you, Trey. I'm going to go over here on LSU, and I'm excited about the offense. Like, I think they are going to take a step forward here because, you know, they're bringing in a new passing game coordinator who learned under Joe Moorhead. They're bringing in the RPO. I know it feels like we hear this a lot about LSU modernizing the offense, but I'm thinking this is actually the year where it's happening. So, and you're right, that defense is one of the best in the country. The secondary is the best in the country with Grant Delpit at safety, Christian Fulton at corner, and maybe the guy I'm most excited to watch, Derek Stingley, the true freshman at corner. I think he should replace Greedy Williams just fine if he lives up to the hype. Yeah, I'm loving this team. I think they're stacked. I'm gonna go over. Spot the lie.
Can't do it.
Bravo.
Okay. Next is one that you guys made fun of me for. We were it was in the game day locations episode when we were predicting every location. We actually, as a team, did really well. I think we got the first like 7 weeks right or something. And one of the early weeks was everyone was expecting Clemson at Syracuse to get game day, but I went a different direction. I'm going to avoid that one. I'm going to say Iowa at Iowa State gets game day.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
I know that's going out on a limb here, but
yeah,
both teams are very likely to be undefeated going into the game. I'm guessing they'll both be ranked. And it's just, I mean, that's such a great rivalry, I think. And the fact that Iowa State has never hosted game day and the atmosphere for that game would be, I feel like it would be like Washington State last year for game day. So I just think it would be a great choice. I don't know if it will get picked, but that's my guess.
Yep. Yeah, that was a good call.
Yeah, you sounded really dumb there, Ryan.
Yeah,
and that game turned out to be really good too.
Seems like all the extra talking on the side usually benefits Michael in these two.
Well, there's been a couple bad ones though, I feel like.
Yeah, maybe one or two.
But yes, I am in control of that, so sometimes it does. But don't worry, I have 5 horrendous takes, so we're going to get to that, but just I got 2 more good ones here. This one is was my call me crazy prediction about Ohio State. Call me crazy, but I think Justin Fields could be better than Dwayne Haskins this year.
You're insane. You're not just crazy. You're insane.
Well, just let me make my case first, Ryan. Maybe I'll change your mind.
Okay.
Okay? So I just think that, obviously, this is going to be very tough, but I think people are too opposed to hype when someone hasn't played very much. It happened for Tua before last year. Athlon put him as their number two quarterback before the season, and people threw a fit. And at OU, we all thought it was impossible to be better than Baker Mayfield. Kyler Murray one-upped him. I don't think it's crazy to think that the number two recruit in the country, only behind, of course, Trevor Lawrence, and a guy with excellent running ability, a trait that Haskins didn't have, unless you ask Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, but, yeah, exactly.
I don't think it's crazy to think he has the potential to one-up Haskins.
It was pretty good.
Okay, last one here is has to do with one of our favorite schools to talk about, Rutgers.
Uh-oh. I'll take the next, maybe easiest one. I'll take Chris Ash at Rutgers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And I feel like it's an easy choice to replace him. Who are you going with?
You think it's easy?
Well,
so
maybe just...
Okay, so I'm thinking Munkin from Army.
Ooh.
Okay, well,
The reason I'm going that way is because I feel like if Rutgers really wants to compete, they might have to change their style. And Munkin's in the kind of that greater New York, Northeast area, so...
Yeah.
No, that makes some sense. I was thinking Greg Schiano.
That would be kind of cool.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
It does.
Who laughed there? Was that you, Trey?
No, that was you, Ryan. That was definitely you.
Nice try. I said that would be cool.
Trey and I were hysterically laughing about your Baylor prediction, but you laughed a couple times at me too, Ryan.
I did. Yep. That was bad.
Okay. Enough good stuff for me. Well, you guys make fun of me.
All right. Well, this one's easy. This was very predictable. We all know Michael's love for Joe Moorhead, and we were talking about overrated and underrated teams in the preseason AP poll.
I am very happy that we're doing this because I'm going with Mississippi State.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, they were 28th in the rankings, and I really think they'd be favored against like 7 or 8 of the teams that are in the top 25. Last year, in pretty much every respected computer ranking, at least every one that I respect, because I won't respect you unless you rate Mississippi State highly.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they were in the top 10, though, in like S&P Plus, Sagarin, Massey Peabody. So I think they were a lot better than people give them credit for.
Yep.
And this year, with year two Joe Moorhead, bringing in Tommy Stevens, yeah, the defense will get
Tommy
worse.
Tommy Stevens.
I like Tommy Stevens, Ryan.
All right. Well...
Who could have predicted that Joe Moorhead, after what he did at Morehead State, or at Morehead State, at
Fordham.
Fordham.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was fairly high on Mississippi State, too, but you take the cake in your love for Moorhead.
Yeah, I was totally wrong on his tenure there.
All right, let's move on here. And then the second one was, we were talking about Dark Horse Heisman candidates, and, well, two of your guys... yeah, not that great.
Khalil Tate, 75-1. 2 years ago, he played basically 9 games, 1,400 yards rushing. So,
yeah,
if he's healthy and let loose like he was a couple years ago, then there's at least a chance he could have an all-time great year.
Oh, wait, no, your other one's De'Ara King, huh?
Okay, well, come on, man. De'Ara King, 66-1. So, Mitchell actually has a prop bet for us on Instagram, over under 50 total touchdowns for De'Ara King. I'm going over. He had 50 last year and he only played in 11 games. So if he stays healthy,
yeah,
Houston has him a couple upsets.
Him and Holgorsen, that's a good tandem.
It is. Yeah.
Yep. For sure.
So I got two things with this one. Number one, I really wanted, what a shame we didn't get to see Khalil Tate 2.0 like he was originally. But number two, for De'Ara King, let's just fast forward to this time next year. We're probably going to be having this same exact take because Michael's going to be all in on Miami and De'Ara King.
Oh, man, I don't know with that offensive line, but I'll probably talk myself into it. You're probably right. he seemed like he's the one that's really disappointing because Tate seemed more boom or bust. De'Ara King, I just thought was boom for sure.
Yeah,
but
I got off to a rough start.
He was not.
Khalil Tate was there for quite a while. I mean, he played most of the games. He just... And he sucked.
Well, yeah. that's rough.
All right. This is for our Sparty fans out there, the Bradens of the world, Spartan Ties of the world. Here we go. Michael's take on Sparty.
I am going to go with Michigan State plus 1250 to win the conference.
Ooh.
Yeah. The defense we know is going to be great. So they've got a championship level defense. That's my analysis.
Okay.
All right.
Well, okay. So offensively, last year, just it seemed like everything went wrong for them. Brian Lewerke was playing hurt at quarterback for much of the season. A bunch of wide receivers missed games with injuries, including Cody White and Darryl Stewart. They're both back. They had to use 9 different combinations on the offensive line because of all the injuries they had there. So this year, with mostly everyone back, hopefully some better luck there on the injury front, I think they got a shot. Again, who could have predicted that just shuffling the offensive staff up, I thought that was going to be the cure.
That was a great idea.
I can't believe it failed.
Yep. They essentially do the same thing this year again.
Yeah, no, there's been no news out of Michigan State, has there?
Not that I've heard.
Not that I've heard either.
We'll get into it, though.
That would be crazy if they don't shake it up even more. Just shuffle it again, I guess. Why not?
But a little harder. Maybe switch some offensive guys to defense, or defense to offense.
Ooh, now that's creative. I like that.
All right, let's get to your other bad take here. Let's see. We had, we're talking about Big Ten quarterbacks. We were ranking them. And so we have a couple of clips on your take on Hunter Johnson.
I don't have the clips.
Wow.
No, I have them.
Oh, yeah, I thought so.
Number 5, controversial pick here, maybe. Northwestern, Hunter Johnson.
You got to put him somewhere. Like, you got to take a shot. You can't just put him at last to the people that haven't played.
Right. It's tough. So it's all pedigree. Obviously, he's the 5-star transfer from Clemson. Full year to sit out, learn the offense. I'm high on him. There's the potential is there to be great. The offense has been so bad. But I think that's almost a reason I like them, because I was never a big Clayton Thorson fan. He was inefficient. He threw too many interceptions. So I think the change to Hunter Johnson alone, I know he's a big question mark. He could be boom or bust here, but I think he could be a massive upgrade. So I'm going to predict that he is. And for that reason only, I'm going to go over. That's the worst part of that one is I was feeling under on Northwestern, under everywhere else, but Hunter Johnson. I was like, that guy, he's going to be good. He just has to be good. And that is, he threw 1 touchdown and 4 picks. So didn't quite work out.
Yeah. They were god awful on offense.
Oh, so terrible.
They were worse than Sparty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's bad.
All right. Well, if there's one thing you can take to the bank on this podcast, it's Michael talking himself into some Jim Harbaugh. So here we go.
All right. For my playoff, I'm going Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia as the top 3 seeds. I just think they're clearly the 3 best teams. And my 4th team is Michigan. Ryan, you made the case for it. I just think the offense is going to take that leap forward this year with all the skill talent they have, Josh Gattis as offensive coordinator. So,
yeah, that was the opposite of the Joe Brady effect. This was Gattis struggled.
Yeah, I mean, I think they got better as the season went on, but it's just they just are what they are right now. They're good, but they're nowhere close to Ohio State. So
yeah,
it wasn't like an awful take, but they just don't have they haven't got that next step yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty bad take though to go to the playoff. Even though there were some people picking it, but it's just...
They had no chance, really.
Ohio State's so much more talented.
I mean, they got smoked by Wisconsin.
Yeah, that too.
That was ugly.
Okay. That's it for the bros. We are all off the hot seat now. And let's move on to some really bad takes we found on the internet. It turns out, believe it or not, some people on the internet say stupid things.
All right, let's do it. I'll get us going.
You guys didn't think that was funny?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Like,
yeah,
maybe even a pity laugh or something.
I haven't heard anybody ever make that joke.
You can add it. You can dub in that fake laugh later.
That would be nice. You know what? I have somewhere Ryan fake laughing. Ryan, why don't you talk about all these bad takes? I'm going to try and find that.
All right, so I'm going to start off with some LSU-related takes, particularly on Coach O. This one was after LSU hired Coach Orgeron, Clay Travis tweeted, LSU firing its most successful head coach in program history to hire Ed Orgeron is the most LSU move possible.
Maybe he meant it in a positive way.
Yeah, it's true. He could say, could have been good. Didn't say it was bad, per se. Oh, wow.
He found it.
Wow.
I found it.
That is me.
Oh, I'm going to play that one to death.
No.
Anytime Ryan makes a joke.
That's pretty good. All right, this one. After LSU's loss at home to Troy in 2017, Dan Walken tweeted, yesterday, a college football coach's agent called me. All he said was, LSU hired Ed Orgeron. And then we laughed for a few minutes. Ouch.
That one, that's a bad one. Because that's just mean. I know. Like, even at the time.
We laughed for a few minutes. Oh, brutal. Then Colin Coward said, LSU settled. This is what happens when you settle. You win national championships, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you're saying Clay Helton, USC's going to win a title with Clay?
Oh, that's not even settling. That's just giving up.
Okay. Yeah. Fair.
All right. Then on SportsCenter, a few years ago, they had Booger McFarland, who is a very smart guy, right?
Yeah.
Where is it, Mike? All right.
I can't believe I've never used that drop before.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised that you had that. All right, so Booger McFarland and Paul Feinbaum were on, and they were asked for their worst head coaching hires of the offseason. Paul said Coach O, and then Booger said Matt Rhule. Wow.
Not great.
Not a good one, bud. So those are pretty bad. And then we had some other LSU-related takes. This one is, from our friend Dan Walken.
He is all over the place.
Yeah, so in November... he said, I don't remember what year this was.
This was this past year.
Yeah. Said, it's time to seriously consider the possibility that Georgia is going to beat LSU. No, it's not.
Nope.
And then in September, a little earlier, he said, I kind of think Auburn might be the best team in the SEC.
That one, I don't know how he thought that even at the time. I mean, it's hard.
Because they barely beat Oregon in comeback fashion. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, but because at the time, I know they ended up beating Alabama, but at the time, how could you have thought Auburn was better than Alabama? I don't quite remember. I can't really put myself back in that time period, but...
And Georgia had just beaten Notre Dame. They were still unbeaten.
Yeah, that was a weird take.
LSU had beaten Texas. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Then we have our good friend Barry McCockiner. he was saying during the national championship, he tweeted... can already tell Clemson is going to win this by 20 plus.
At least double digits. And
people always overreact to that.
Dr. Barry, he's, sometimes wrong.
I remember I was watching a few years ago, like Wisconsin and Miami were playing, and I think it was the Orange Bowl, and Miami got off to a really good start. I think they were up like 10-0 or something like that. And the guy I was watching the game was like, oh, dude, this is over. This game's done. This guy got nothing. And I'm like, dude. Just relax. Wisconsin will settle, and I bet you they'll win this game. And, Wisconsin came back. But people overreact to, like, two series, and it's like, dude, relax.
For sure, especially in this one. I definitely didn't get the feeling that Clemson was just going to dominate this one. Yeah, I got the feeling, hey, eventually LSU's offense is going to wake up. I didn't know if they'd win, but...
Yeah, it wasn't going to be a blowout.
No.
Let's see. Everybody's favorite here, Skip Bayless. He said... please let LSU be the number one seed. Oklahoma would have a much better chance versus LSU than Ohio State. Ooh. That's pretty big.
That's pretty, you like that one, right?
Well, I mean.
It's like it's the first time you read it.
yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Really prepared. But no, that's rough, man. That's bad.
It is.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. And then the next one here. In response to Dennis Dodd asking Scott Frost about potentially taking Joe Burrow as a transfer a couple years ago, Frost said, you think he's better than what we got?
I mean, maybe it was an earnest question.
And then Pete Mundo of Heartland Sports, in response to Joe Burrow transferring to LSU, he wrote, "I guess Burrow really wants to tank his career. I kid, somewhat. But LSU is basically where quarterbacks go to die."
That's bad to put in print, especially. I think I wouldn't have said it in such harsh words, but it definitely is odd if you're a quarterback that's wanting to get, you know, drafted into the NFL to go to LSU. It did seem like not a great choice. Kind of like right now with Derek King going to Miami, but hopefully.
Yeah, but Joe Burrow wasn't even playing.
No, that's true. That's true. So I guess having the chance to start.
Chance to go play at LSU, top 25 team in the SEC. I mean.
True.
But yes, I mean, point taken, it's, you know, nobody saw this coming.
No. Okay, I've got a few more bad takes here. So Theo Lawson, a sports writer in Spokane, tweeted, "Wow, amid reports Mike Leach had met with Arkansas, Pat Chun manages to strike a deal with the WSU coach through 2024, and now you can all breathe easy."
Oh, he's not going anywhere now.
No, for sure.
Just because you signed an extension means you're staying forever.
Yeah, so I assume he's still at Washington State. Mm-hmm. Next one, Dan Dockich. Who would have thunk he would tweet something stupid? He said during the Tennessee-Indiana bowl game, "Tried to tell you, Hoosiers rolling." That was in all caps.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, the told you so tweets are just, you're just asking for it in the middle of a game.
In the middle of a game. It's like you're not going to get any pub for like your prediction there.
No.
Like,
no.
People aren't going to be look at that tweet and be like, "Oh yeah, you were right." No.
It's true. Okay, next one. After Tate Martell transferred to Miami, Stuart Mandel tweeted, "Seriously, other than Clemson, no one is having a better January than the U." Then another Miami one here. Stateoftheu.com in July released an article with the headline, "Dan Enos building the next great offense at Miami."
Ouch.
Yeah, that one's pretty bad.
He's no longer there.
Ryan Leaf tweeted at Heather Dinich about the Pac-12 championship, and he said, quote, "Utah wins, Heather, by at least 10 points. Book it." didn't work out.
No, they lost by a lot.
About the same game, Dan Rubenstein, Ty Hildenbrandt's co-host, who, by the way, Ryan and I were going back and forth earlier. I just want to clear it up. We really do like Ty, and he has been super nice to us. I don't know why we had the giggles, but we cleared it up. We're done.
Yeah, no, he really is nice.
I know. Okay, now we're going to get into the giggles again about nothing, as if we're hiding something. There's nothing to hide, Ryan. He's been very nice. He's helped us out twice, and he's great on his podcast, and we love him.
I know. I'm sure he'll help us out again in this offseason, too.
Wow, that's presumptuous. Anyway,
well,
moving on.
He's such a nice guy, Michael.
I know. Well, that's true. You're right. Okay, that's true. Dan Rubenstein, who also I'm sure is a nice guy. Never met him. He said, quote, "Financial advice. Get in early on Utah's opening line minus anything over Oregon next week." And they
minus negative 30?
No, they wouldn't have covered negative zero. Which
but I was doing double negative there.
I got what you did, Ryan.
Oh,
well
I didn't
done.
Hear that. I just heard negative 30.
No.
Oh, you minus negative 30.
Yeah.
Good job, Ryan.
Thanks.
That was a thinker. That went right over my head.
How much did they lose by exactly? I don't remember the final.
I don't remember the final either. What was the final of Utah, Oregon?
I'll double check.
Felt like Oregon, they pulled away late for sure. They won by double digits.
At least.
Maybe triple. While you're looking for that, Ryan, next one. Sports Illustrated writer Adam J. Maia wrote an article after the season and reported that Clay Helton was getting fired, and I was super excited. And then Sports Illustrated, the same company, debunked that and said, no, he's actually not getting fired. And I was sad again, and that's where we are today.
Ouch. 37-15.
Oh, that's even more than I remember.
So, yeah.
Okay. Last one here for me is from Rayma, the orangutan from the Phoenix Zoo, picked Ohio State over Clemson in the Fiesta Bowl. What an idiot.
Dumb.
Wow, the nerve.
Stupid orangutan.
Wow. We had to dig deep for some of these. All right. My first one here, again, from Clay Travis.
Who would have thunk he would have said something?
I know. And with his very famous blood bank guarantees, which you'd be losing a lot of blood if you, whatever. But he bet that Alabama would win at Auburn with his guarantee. That didn't quite pan out.
Nope.
Number two for me here was the FPI. Before the season, they gave Michigan over a 48% chance to win the Big Ten and gave Ohio State only an 8% chance.
What? I mean, even before the season, that was stupid.
That was crazy.
Exactly.
That's crazy. I mean, wow.
Check your computers. It ain't working.
No.
My third one here, the MAC, their preseason media poll, picked Central Michigan to finish last. They ended up, of course, winning the conference.
I feel like the MAC is always so hard to predict.
This year especially, it was, even before the year, it was pretty wide open. We talked about that.
Yeah.
There's a good take from us.
Molly Knight, she tweeted, not looking forward to Cal beating Stanford for the first time in a decade this year, to be quite honest. To which Ramona Shelburne replied, relax, we'll still beat Cal. This isn't the Tevens years.
Stick to the NBA, Ramona.
Yeah, stay in your lane. All right, number five, former Mizzou wide receiver TJ Moe, he tweeted, save your fire Odom takes, ain't happening no matter how loud you pout about it. Well, we know what happened.
That was rough. I feel like that was a little, I don't know, that's a rough fire.
Another one, in response to the beef between Mike Locksley and Josh Gattis, Barrett Sally tweeted, Mike Locksley's offense, good. Josh Gattis's offense, not good. End of analysis.
Oh,
yeah. I would, at the end of the year, I'll take Michigan's offense.
Yeah.
And then finally, Will Cain tweeted, after last year's Sugar Bowl when Texas beat Georgia, the expectations are now rightfully unlimited for the Horns. Texas should be in the college football playoff next season.
You even bother to look at who they have coming back?
You guys can listen to the episodes. I was the complete opposite after that game. I was saying, oh, they're going to be so overrated. I'm going under immediately.
You were especially, Trey, but we were all low on Texas. Yeah, they just lost so much. So that was, yeah, that hype got out of control after that game. But also, another old take exposed from that game was Sam Ehlinger after the game. Say, we're back.
Yeah, not so much, Sam.
No.
Okay, that does it for all of the takes. We just have a quick segment here, and then we will close out the episode. We got to talk about the coaching carousel, Ryan.
Dave Aranda is going to Baylor. He's trying to take over for the greatest coach in school history. Nah, I'm just kidding. Art Briles has got a case, even though he's a jerk. Is that, can I say that and not?
Yeah, I think it's safe. You're safe to say that, right? You'll okay. be okay.
I thought so. Yeah. So Dave Aranda, Ellis to Baylor. What do you guys think? I think it's a good hire. I mean, keeps the focus on the defense and won't really change that much to keep the 3-4 style going. I think it'll work out well.
Yeah. I mean, I always get more excited when it's someone that has
head coaching experience.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess I'm a broken record. So,
yeah.
But yeah, if you're going to hire a coordinator, then he was one of the top, you know, two or three candidates out there. So it makes sense. It's a fine hire.
Yeah. He was due for a good job. And I do like the fact that they will have a primary focus on defense with him, you know, compared to the rest of the Big 12 being obviously offensive stacked.
Okay. Other than your boy, Gary Patterson.
I know. There's a few sprinkled in there, but...
Yeah.
Next, we have Todd Graham being hired at Hawaii to replace Nick Rolovich. And this is definitely not super exciting. He's not Nick Rolovich. He's not a young, exciting guy with a high-flying offense. But he is a good coach. Even at Arizona State, it's not like he flamed out. They could have very reasonably kept him. He could still be the coach there. But they just decide to go a different direction. But I think he's going to keep Hawaii competitive. I think he's solid.
Yeah, and this level of college football might be best suited for him because you talk about Arizona State. He had one or two good years sprinkled in there, but overall it was okay. But he really excelled at Tulsa, and so I think he can really maybe keep Hawaii humming.
Yeah, no, I like the hire. I mean, he did a pretty good job there at ASU. He went 31-23 in the Pac-12, which is pretty good when you're at ASU. So he had some good years, and even in his last year, after he got fired, he made a bowl game, went 7-5. So yeah, I think this a pretty good hire if you're Hawaii.
All right. And then San Diego State, Rocky Long retires and Brady Hoke takes over. So for me, there was all those rumors about Long interviewing for other Power 5 defensive coordinator positions that still could come about. But man, he left the program in great shape for Brady Hoke, who comes back to San Diego State. Well, he was there this past year, but he was the head coach prior. And man, I like it. It makes sense. And I don't see why this can't work.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't have anything to add, Trey. I think it makes sense. Just keep the continuity. And he had success there before. Why not?
Yeah, why not? I mean, was the defensive line coach? Did we say that at San Diego State this year?
I don't think we mentioned that, no.
Oh, yeah. They had pretty darn good defense this past year, so he knows what he's doing, I guess, on that side of the ball. Why not? It could work out again.
Okay, last thing we have to get to is De'Eriq King transferring to the U. We kind of alluded to it earlier in the show. What do you think, Ryan?
I mean, it's a great get if you're the U. I mean, De'Eriq King was probably the most sought after quarterback out there still. I mean, Jamie Newman was arguably up there, but he ended up going to Georgia. So he is an electric player. We've seen him at his best at Houston. He put up huge numbers. He was Michael's probably favorite quarterback there for a good while. He's going to be a different animal there at Miami. They haven't had a good offense for a little while, but if anybody can spice it up a little bit, give them a little boost, it would probably be him. So it's definitely a big get for them.
I predicted this a couple weeks ago on the podcast. I thought Manny Diaz is desperate. He needs to make a move and get somebody like this. So this is a dynamic player, and you know they want to liven up the offense, and what better player to do it with than King? So I think it makes sense.
Yeah, and the hope is he can, behind a mediocre or bad offensive line, he can kind of negate that weakness, hopefully. I will say losing Jaren Williams is not great. Of course, he's younger, and I thought he was fine this year, especially considering the circumstances of that offense. So that is a loss if he does end up transferring away. And I'll be interested to see what Williams does going forward at another school.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for our Old Takes Exposed episode. Be sure to let us know your worst takes of the season on Twitter at CFB Bros, Facebook, facebook.com/collegefootballbros. And I'll probably post a sticker on Instagram asking for your worst takes. That is at College Football Bros. And Ryan, Trey, and I will make fun of you mercilessly.
We sure will. Looking forward to it, Michael.
Okay, great. Actually, Ryan, you got to get on Instagram. You're not on Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, Ryan's going to get on Instagram, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the College Football Bros. If you have any questions for the next podcast, email them to collegefootballbros@gmail.com. To keep up with the brothers on social media, like them on Facebook at College Football Bros, follow them on Instagram at College Football Bros, and for their commentary on Saturdays, follow them on Twitter at CFB Bros. Thanks for listening.